Is my picture up there? List of all the books that I've written. They're listed, aren't they? Yeah, that's wonderful. I did write a couple. I just disagree with them now. It's just hard to be excited about promoting your books when you write something that you realize could have been improved upon greatly if you just understood what you're writing about. We had an awesome experience today talking about the second coming of Jesus. That's really what we wound up discussing in one of those awesome times. And we were talking about the coming of Jesus, and he came.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He has just a way of coming and shutting everything down. I mean, when he comes, there's just really not a whole lot more to be said. For some reason, the truth has arrived when he arrives, and everybody bows in obedience to the truth. Because I'll not be addressing this group again, let me express the wonderful gratitude that I have and Jane has for the privilege of just being here. There's no way really for me to describe the meaningfulness of this time. This is sort of like a homecoming with a part of the family. 10 times greater than I've ever experienced in terms of earthly family. I mean, this is really being with two men that I've walked with in the past and heard the Lord through and seen the Lord in like no other two men that I've walked with. And I'm very, very grateful to you for inviting me to come and letting me be part of this. It's just been a beautiful, wonderful experience for me. Both of them have affected me so much that there is a part of me that is tailor-made. And another part of me is Dudley-ized. And so I just have enjoyed these days, and I'm excited to see a body of Christ like this, where there's such a freedom. And I have wonderful notes. You would have no idea how carefully and how hard I work on them for as little as I use them. Tonight, the notes I had last night, I really worked almost all of last week. I bet I put 60 hours. I had quotes in there beyond quotes. They will forever stand in my computer undefiled, I promise. If maybe I could get my feet nailed to the floor tonight, I may use some notes. But again, I just want to speak out of my heart on this subject. On the kingdom coming, which is another way of saying the coming revival. When we think about the coming kingdom, we're really thinking about the coming revival. Or when we're thinking about the coming revival, we're really thinking about the coming kingdom. And in Hebrews, that we looked at Sunday morning, if you were here or not here, I'll just refer to one verse, verse 28 of Hebrews 12. Verse 28, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let's be thankful And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything in our lives spiritually is received. We have nothing spiritually that we do not receive. It is always an outright gift, never earned, never deserved, but willingly received. And everything in our lives is simply on the basis of God's grace and God's offer to us, and our part is to allow Him to come. I remember in those days of the move of God, back in the 80s, Dudley and I were involved in kind of breakthrough ministry, and we were in Anaheim, California, and I had read about a man who was teaching healing over at Fuller Theological Seminary with Peter Wagner. His name was John Wimber, and I called the Vineyard and was put right through to him, and nobody knows to this day how that could have happened, because it broke all protocol that they had established in that place. And within 15 minutes, he was in our hotel. He found out where we were staying down the street from the, quote, Mother Vineyard, and he was there. And I remember seeing healing taken off the stage and put out in the lives of people that God was using in a way that I had never imagined, through an instrument of the Lord that He uniquely raised up, a man who had no background in Christ whatsoever. He called himself a member of the pagan pool, knew so little about God that one night in desperation on the sands of Nevada, outside Vegas, he cried out to God in desperation late at night after going out of one of the clubs where he was a manager for the Righteous Brothers, which I'm sure was not an accurate description at all. And estranged from his wife, she was angry with him. He cried out to God, looking into the sky, "If there is a God, if you're out there, let me know you exist." And he turned from a sky that said nothing and did not answer back, and drove back into the hotel. And the desk clerk said, "Mr. Wimber, you have a phone call from your wife." And he thought that somebody was pretending to be his wife, and it was Carol. And she said, "John, I've been thinking about our separation, and I want to reconsider and try to find a way for us to be united." And he said, Carol, do you realize I just talked to God? And you've called. He's real." She said, "John, that's called prayer." And he said, "Carol, how did you know that?" And she said, "I went to a Catholic school, and they taught us to pray." And so this man, who was clueless as far as religion, thank God he was, found a little Quaker church around the corner, and he started going. And the Quakers are those unusual people that believe you can wait on God and He may show up, that you don't have to have noise all the time or words all the time, or anything anytime except Him. We haven't found out yet, you don't really have to have anything anytime except Him. And so he knew lots of people that could benefit from the Lord, and so he just rounded up as many of them as he could and got them to come with him. And they brought their beer with them and their cigarettes and came in. And guess what? There were some people who didn't know what to do with them. And then there were some people that didn't like them. And he couldn't imagine that. He was so wounded in that. And so here was a man that had such compassion for people that he just kept moving closer and closer to Jesus until there was an anointing on him for the power of God to come and visit people. And we had the privilege of seeing what he would call clinic, in which the Lord would come and do only what he can do. And we were in that period of time, and we called it revival. I remember he was telling us it was kingdom. Yeah, he was. I think Dudley got it. Dudley's quick. But I didn't get it. I don't know how much Dudley got. He's acting like he didn't get it too well either. We were seeing the kingdom of God. We were seeing the fact that when people hurt, God hurts with them. That He cares. He doesn't care because it's some sort of shibboleth that we've learned to say. He cares because it's His nature. He cares enough to go whatever distance He has to go. We don't have a clue how far He went. When He came out of the atmosphere that He had lived in eternally and walked in here and walked into this earth, when He humbled Himself and became a man, that humility is without our ability to comprehend. And here He came in our midst. And He would care enough to go across the street to touch the leper that everybody else was shunning and being afraid to be near. He cared enough to walk through any kind of potential rejection and any kind of bad mouthing that would occur from any quarters to reach a person and care about a person. And there were no off limits. And it's the same today. I went to listen to a man recently, came out of a busy time and went immediately, came out of speaking in a conference and went immediately to hear Jim Cimbala, whom I had read and whom I had listened to recordings. Because of a man in the middle of a city, New York City, who does one thing probably better than any other thing. Do you know what that is? He prays. And in a church that does one thing probably better than any other one thing, they pray. 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 people show up on Tuesday night to pray. Many times people come out of the streets. Sometimes they come into those services drunk, not really knowing how to act. And they're made welcome, and nobody's embarrassed. They're there. And sometimes he goes well-dressed and throws his arms around those people who came out of the street, dirty, not having bathed, with the stench of body odor. Because he lets the fact that God cares give him the same kind of caring and the same kind of heart. And I went to that conference for one reason. If the church is going to see Jesus do what he wants to do, and we're going to see the kingdom come, and we're going to allow the work of God to be done, we have to move into that dimension of joining Jesus in what he does best. And the thing that he did best when he was on this earth was pray. So of all the things the disciples saw him do, the thing they wanted most for him to teach them to do was to pray. And so they ask him, we want in on it. We don't know how you do all this other stuff, but somehow we know everything relates to the fact that you pray. Teach us to pray. Prayer is the most frustrating part of my Christian journey. I've wanted to be a prayer warrior. A number of years ago, we were in a major conference, speaker came in, talked about not spending an hour. And so I got really convicted and bought a leisure suit so I'd be comfortable having that prayer time. I was going to pray an hour every morning if it'd kill me. Needless to say, by your laughter, you think I didn't make it. I didn't. Then I learned something. How about just talking to Jesus all through the day? How about learning to multitask and pray without ceasing? So you don't have to do it all in the kind of formalized expression that is unnatural and always in King James English with your voice dropping an octave or two. How about just talking and just letting him be part of whatever you're doing and sensing his presence so that you are joining him in prayer. If there's any one key, I believe, to where the Lord is wanting to take us and move us, it's in this very dimension. He wants us to join him in prayer. And the whole thing about the kingdom is you're never quite sure in the reality of whether you're on earth still or you're in heaven. Because what happens in the kingdom reality and in the kingdom merger, heaven and earth become so entwined that while we're in the experiences of things on earth, we're in heaven all at the same time. And if you want to study that, just go to the book of Ephesians and realize that you've been raised up together with Christ, and you've been made to sit together with Christ in the heavenlies. And you realize that where he's seated, you are seated. And the man who wrote that, Paul, had a mailing address in the city of Rome where he wrote it. But he didn't live there. He just had to have a mailing address. You had to visit him in the heavenlies because he lived there. He understood we're made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so tonight, I want to just emphasize the fact that Paul was not asking us to get in revival. Jesus was not urging us to be in prayer for the revival that everybody seems to be yearning for and pushing and talking about. Jesus was very clear, pray for the kingdom to come. And when we learn to engage in the kingdom sightings, we begin to understand what we're seeing because we begin to understand how to think and how to think with the mind of Christ thinking in us. I realized we say you need to think before you speak. It's amazing how many people will put their tongue in forward and leave their mind in neutral, and you never know where they're going. I mean, they just start blabbering. So you need to think before you speak. And the other day I heard the Lord say, you need to think before you think. You need to think about where you're going to go when you think. You need to think about how to think. And so you need to think in such a way that you're bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And if you can't think before you think, you won't let your mind be captured by Him and guided by Him so that as you consider these things and you view these things, you will understand them with His understanding. So the knowledge that only God can give becomes our knowledge. And the way that we begin to get the knowledge everybody wants is to keep eating at the tree of life. It's when you go after knowledge instead of His life, His presence, His enactment of the kingdom in us. We make the same mistake Adam and Eve made, and I don't have time to go there except to say, Adam knew how to name every animal on this earth, not because of the tree of knowledge, but because of the tree of life. And because he took good bites out of the fruit of the tree of life, he had the mind and the information to give every animal its proper name. And the trap we fall into is wanting to know and gain that kind of knowledge that occurs through our own ability to figure it out instead of Him revealing it to us. The glory of God brings to us the presence of God or the light of God by which we see the kingdom and see Him. And we begin to see and know what He's allowing us to see and know. I was in a situation recently in which I flew in to minister to a family that had lost a loved one that I was very close to, and got in that horrific ice storm that ripped across southeast Missouri and into Tennessee and Kentucky, and I was in southeast Missouri. And so I heard the lights went out, the house grew cold in this place, my friend's house, where I was spending the night before doing the funeral the next day. And I heard him outside And so I got up and went out to help him. 3 o'clock in the morning, cold as could be. The rain had stopped and the snow had started, and it was just snowing by the inches in just minutes. It's just unbelievable. I've never been in snow falling that fast. But the ice had already taken the power out and just wiped out power lines all over the country. And so I was out there holding the flashlight by this time, 3:30 in the morning. And I said, "Lord, what are we doing out here? What am I supposed to learn from this? What is going on?" The only part I had was to hold the light for him to see how to hook up this massive generator he had as an emergency standby. And so he was hooking the generator into his house, and I was standing there with enough light for him to see how to do it. And I heard the Lord say, "I'm teaching you." Well, good. What am I learning? About my glory. My glory is I'm holding the light on what you need to see. Okay. What do I need to see? And I heard him saying, "You need to see what I'm doing so you can do it with me." Okay. The glory of God that comes is the only means by which the kingdom of God is lighted so we can see. And the glory of God is the only way Jesus is lighted so we can see him and see him at work. And so what he is asking us to do is to allow his glory and his light to move out of heaven into earth. So the separation between heaven and earth is really not that distinctive. And there is this interchange between heaven and earth that is a continuous engagement of these two realms of reality. And heaven comes with the supernatural, and earth involves the natural and the practical. And it is interesting that the kingdom of God involves both of these. There is the supernatural, and there is the natural. And one is naturally supernatural, and the other is the activity of God within the natural or the supernatural, and they're so interactive that Jesus embraced them both and applauded them both. He said, "If you will give a cup of cold water," and the doing of servant evangelism, I mean, you've taken it to another dimension, and you give Cokes away and all kinds of things. And the pastor was telling me about these girls that were commissioned by the Lord to go out and do that. And I don't know who they are, but I bless you in Jesus' name. And so you don't have to have supernatural power to give somebody a cup of cold water. But giving somebody a cup of cold water is giving it to him. And the reason you're giving it to him is there's not anybody he doesn't know just like he knew you. And there's not anybody that he's not with just like he was with you before you knew he was with you, he was with you, right? We have a friend that came from North Carolina back out to Texas recently. And here's what he said in this Bible study thing, but this wonderful meeting, this one marvelous teaching format that we're in with Dudley. But I mean, it looks like a thing, doesn't it? I mean, it, and I'm not, because it's not a religious thing. It's just a wonderful thing. So here's what he said. I was growing up on the farm. He said, we were just as poor as we could be out there in North Carolina. And he said, I was working the cotton fields. And he said, there was an imaginary friend. And I talked to him all the time. He said, I just was a kid that had a mind that just took off on me. And he said, I just talked to this friend. And he said, I got saved. And I heard Jesus say, I was that friend you were talking to. And I thought, whoa, that's exactly right. Because he's with us. He's with us before we know that he's with us. We don't know who's there. We just know. And so when you give a cup of cold water, he's there with them. That's why you're giving it to him. You see, if we ever get this, the fun of every day, letting the kingdom show up and Jesus show up and letting people be ministered to, then the excitement of it takes us into the dimension. When all of a sudden this began to download in my life and I began to see this, I received an energy and an excitement in my life at this stage of my life. And I've talked with the Lord about this, and he doesn't want to talk about it, and so I'm stuck. I mean, but here's what I've talked to him about. Why didn't he show me this when my body was young and could take it, you know? And now I've got all these juices going and my body saying, don't you understand how old you are? And I'm saying, no, and don't tell me. Because I've never been more excited in my life. You can't tell that, can you? But I never have. For the simple reason, God is a fixin' to do something. And there ain't never been nothing like it. Now let me, I don't know how long I've been going, but it seemed like a long time, didn't it? Now, let me wrap this up. Here's our biggest problem. The church, we have been victimized by the copy machine. And church life has been reduced to copying the models that have been set up in the past historically, or the contemporary models. So what everybody is doing is looking around to see what's going on so that the church is copying the model. And the copy machines of copying from the past and copying from the contemporary successful churches. A number of years ago, the church that everybody was going to copy was Paul Youngi Cho's church out in Seoul, Korea. And so everybody flew out on 747s and went in there, and they came out of Seoul intending to build the world's second largest church because they could copy and they could redo what was happening there. What the Lord wants the church to get right now is a scanner and scan heaven. So we find out how the will of God is being done in heaven. So his will is done on earth in the way the scanning of heaven alerts us to see and to get in on. Dudley and I had a little talk coming back this afternoon. You see, there's so many areas right now that must be addressed. We are ravaged by drugs and people who are strung out in addictions that are unbelievable. And the power of God is available to set these people free instantaneously. And there's insight, there's the mind of Christ in us to walk us through these things. We have a health crisis in America that is a political football. We have a health crisis in America that is an economic tsunami, potentially, in which we have no idea what could happen with our health care system if we make the wrong moves that we are moving toward making. And here sits the church with the heart of God and the power of God to see healing. If we would allow the healing ministry of Jesus to be taken off the platform and out of the commercialization, if you'll send us $50, we'll send you a prayer cloth for you to be healed. Give us a break, please. If we get rid of all this stuff and we look right into heaven and we see that the cripple at the gate has legs, they're already there in heaven, which is what Peter and John saw. And so they said to the cripple at the gate, "You don't understand, we're in a depression and we don't have gold and silver. But we saw early this morning when we were looking, there's legs for you. And you can have them." And he got what he needed. He got legs. Because they saw him in heaven. And in the seeing of the kingdom, we're not just seeing here. The seeing of the kingdom is a sightedness that is beyond here. And it is a sightedness that is beyond now. The seeing of the kingdom, and I don't know whether we can loose Dudley in the morning to do this or not, but if Dudley would walk us through the seeing of the kingdom, where you see the kingdom from the get-go, in the beginning, and you watch the kingdom come through history and unload, and then you watch the kingdom that will still be in existence when we get to the end, and you see all this. I've heard him do that. It's incredible. The seeing of the kingdom lets us see the whole shooting match. And if I had not gone through the trauma of facing the possibility of having very little sight, if any, I probably would never have been gripped by the fact that one of the most precious things that you enjoy and often take for granted is the very fact that with your physical eyes, you can see. You don't create anything. It's already there. And sight lets you in on it. We don't have to create any of this. It's already there. It's already in operation. We just get in on it. We just, oh, wow. Did you see that? Whoa, where did that come from? You see. And it's such a gift. Helen Keller was right. The person in a more tragic position than the person who's totally blind. And she was totally blind. is the person who has eyes but has no vision. And interestingly enough, this lady who was physically totally blind was able to see into a world that to us was darkness, and through other senses register things that many of us have never imagined. That is the picture of the spiritual reality. It is the moving out of the realm of our senses into the realm of the supernatural demonstration and communication of God in letting us see with spiritual eyes. And what we are about to see is the kingdom of God, because that's His plan for us, and that's His gift to us.